Well, good day and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word. That is a hand car washing business located on Highway 11W in Church Hill. We are in the Palace Shopping Center next to Pizza Plus, and there you can get your car washed. We do it by hand. We do everything by hand. We wash the outside. We can do the inside. We have full details. We have mobile detailing available. But most importantly, the Word of God is going forth at all times at the Wash and Word. We take these messages that you hear right here on this station, and we play them on a loop throughout the week during our open business hours. So as you pull in, get your car washed, you can tune to 107.1 FM, and you can listen to the message of today and all the messages of this week. They play on a loop. And all you have to do is come into the parking lot. You don't need to get your car washed. You don't even have to buy anything. You can just pull into the parking lot, tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear these messages being played on a loop during our open business hours. Furthermore, you can hear this and other messages. In fact, all of our archive messages are at the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information about this business and this ministry. Well, being a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, we're going to continue where we left off, and that would bring us to chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 of the Gospel of John. Now, the chapter 6 is 71 verses long, and do you know how many verses we're going to cover? If you guess 71, then you're right. We are a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry. We do not leave anything out, and we feel that that is the most effective way to equip the saints for whatever is coming here in this present day. All right, picking it up in verse 1 of chapter 6, we are on the heels of Jesus having brought his disciples out into the wilderness, did a little bit of discipling with them, and here he's going to perform the second miracle. Chapter 6 should be read in its entirety, but being that it's so long, it's probably going to take us quite a few 15-minute spots to cover it. And again, these messages air at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WMCH, and we encourage you to come back each and every day. So to look at this in the way that we should, we're going to take it piece at a time and be probably making a lot of connections and references as we go. So, verse 1, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Now let's stop there because a couple of sentences and words that I think are important to look at. And the first one is the first three words of verse one. It says, sometime after. And what they're referring to here is the discourse that he had with the Pharisees, where he compared himself to God and equaled himself to God. And, you know, whether that the result of that discourse has either subsided or he has simply avoided some of the big cities. And, he went out into the wilderness. And I believe that he specifically is avoiding any major confrontation in big cities right now. Because, remember, Jesus had a reason for coming, and everything he did was calculated perfectly to line up with the godly divine timeline that his coming to earth was originally intended. And so by dwelling in the hills and in the mountains and in the lakes, i.e. the wilderness, he's avoiding the, because of what he said to the Pharisees just in chapter 5, he could have went from that speech to trial to the cross literally in days. It was so, quote, blasphemous, at the time. So he's taking it on his own timeline. But why is this important? Well, being out in the wilderness, being away from the hustle and bustle of life, this is a very important aspect of the Christian walk. We need to talk about what you are seeking from God and why. And I want you to know that if you want the hand of God, and we all do to some degree or another, we need God's hand of mercy, hand of healing, hand of blessing. But if you want the hand of God, I submit to you, first seek his face. Now, this isn't some miraculous super profound statement. If you want the hand of God, seek first his face. And I bring this up because I want you to look at why it says that these large crowds of people were following Jesus. It flat out says they followed him because they saw the miraculous signs. They were only following Christ for the miracles. They wanted a piece of that wealth, if you will. You know, they saw what was happening here, that this Messiah being, you know, this man at this point, not of all of them believed he was Messiah, but he was being raised up. He was making an uproar, and they wanted to be part of this, getting on the ground floor. You know, it's like I've often heard people that say when they won the lottery, that you know, people come out of the woodwork, and you know, they would say things like, you know, the best way to enlarge your family is to win the lottery. You know, they would say things like friends and family members I didn't even know were calling and coming out of the woodwork. And the same thing goes with people who become famous, you know, and people want to get a piece of that. They want to be part of that. And it's a sad trend today in the church that there's a similar thing taking place. There are people who are being taught by their spiritual leaders, their pastors, their guides, whatever you want to call them. And they're being taught to seek Jesus for the personal gain that they can achieve. Now, I know this anti-prosperity gospel has been done to death. I've been doing it to death for 10 or 15 years because it's been a personal mission of mine to combat this type of teaching and this type of mentality. And obviously, this isn't a new concept. You know, the idea of following God or clinging to Christ for the sake of gain has been going on, well, since the beginning. I mean, here we see a large group following after him for the simple reason of the miracles he performed. But the thing is, they were doing it on their own accord here. You know, in today's society, people are being driven to it. They're being taught and they're being persuaded and encouraged to come to Christ because he can give you your best life now. He can give you things. He can give. Listen, the gift of Christ is the gift of salvation. Everything after that is what we give back to him. And today there are so many large congregations being led like lambs to the slaughter. They're being led to a belief system that is going to fail and crumble at the first sign of serious persecution. And whether it be some sort of a cult or religions that are leading people astray from the truth of God's word and the divinity of Christ, that whether it be Catholicism or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness or even just the prosperity preaching in the Protestant churches, slick people use Jesus to remove Jesus. Listen, you didn't hear that wrong. Slick people use Jesus to remove Jesus. You know, they're not going to lead people astray by bringing some entirely new false doctrine and religion into the fold. No, they're going to use the parts of Jesus that will attract people. And they're going to use Jesus to remove Jesus. Because as they use Jesus and all the things that he brings with salvation, they're going to begin to take away the part of Jesus that is the part that we are supposed to be adhering to, the giving back for the sake of salvation, the denying of self because of what Christ did, the daily picking up of our cross. All of these things, they're not being taught in the gospel's messages that we're hearing a lot of places today. In 1 John 2:26, this very same author writes, "I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray." And if you're mentally taking notes, underline the word trying in your head in 1 John 2:26. Because there are some who lead people astray, I almost want to say innocently, in regards to the fact that they're not maliciously trying to, but maybe they were brought up in a doctrine of prosperity, and maybe they were brought up in ways of erroneous teachings. But there are those out there that are trying to lead you astray. And John's been warning of the church about this since the beginning. In Revelation 12:9, it says the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth along with his angels. So there's a deliberate trying of this straying of people using Jesus to remove Jesus. And it goes back again. If you want to see the hand of God, seek the face of God. Matthew 6:33, you know this scripture. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. True seekers of Jesus Christ seek one thing, one way, and for one reason. And that is, the one thing they seek is forgiveness. The one way they seek it is through humility. And the one reason they're seeking these things is because they have been brought to the realization that alone, that in and of ourselves, that without Christ, we are nothing but wretched, unfit sinners in need of a Savior. True seekers seek Jesus for forgiveness through humility because they realize how unfit we are apart from him. But if you seek him for gain and for prosperity, let me tell you something. That concept has never, ever produced a true disciple. In fact, well, we're going to get there eventually in chapter 6, but there's a little subheading in my version of the Bible that I use. And right before verse 60, the little subheading in bold lettering says, many disciples desert Jesus. And then from verse 60 to 72, it'll continue reading. But I mean, that's proof right there that if you're following after Jesus because of the miracles he did as they were here, if you're following after him because of what he can give you as you've been taught and told on TV by that slick individual who uses Jesus to remove Jesus, if you're doing it for any of these types of gain, you will never be a true disciple. But for his disciples, the ones that Jesus was teaching, he was teaching them the fullness of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And of course, they stuck with him. Let's look at verse 3 through 9. It says, then Jesus went up on a mountainside, and he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near, and when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go amongst so many? Now stopping right there, and we'll get more into this in next teaching as we're running out of time, but there are 2 different responses we see here to the question, where shall we get the food to feed these people? One shows that his solution is purely physical or human. It's one where Philip said, there's no way we can get enough food. And then, of course, the other is an answer to the question with a statement of faith, how Andrew answered him. But we're going to close by talking about this briefly. Jesus cannot do much with pessimism, faithlessness, and doubt. You know, as much as these people were following Jesus for the miracles, you know, we're never going to see a miracle with our stinking attitude. We're never going to see the works of Christ if our life is filled with pessimism and faithlessness and doubt. And all of us experience a little bit of that at times, but if it marks who you are, if it dominates, Jesus can't do a whole lot with that. And so we'll look at that next week, or tomorrow rather. I encourage you to come back at 8:30 at this station. And in the meantime, like I said, head over to the Wash and Word. We'll take care of your car. And there we earn our money to pay for this ministry. Well, God bless you, and look forward to sharing this time in God's Word with you tomorrow. Have a blessed day.